Call your attention this morning to the book of Romans. Romans 1 is where we will be today. How far will man go? It's a sobering question. How far will his imagination take him? Be honest with you, it's a little scary these days. I'll give you one toward the end of the message that I'm telling you I think is straight up demonic. But we live in different times. With the advent of AI, I've heard everything all up and down the gamut. We need to ban that stuff. Then the other one is, well, if we don't do it, China will. I'll be honest with you, I want Jesus to come. That's what I'm looking for. We're in the midst of November. I usually emphasize being thankful. But this week, early in the week, I was thinking about how the world is unthankful. So the text verse that I wanted us to use today is found in verse 21, right in the middle of it. Now we're gonna be in several portions of Scripture, from anywhere from verse 18 through verse 32. But I want you to look with me, and then I'm gonna give you a heads up right in the middle. Because that when they knew God, they knew Him. They glorified Him not as God, and then underline this in your Bible or highlight it. Neither were thankful. They knew God. They're not thankful. They didn't glorify Him, and the evidence is they're not thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And let me just say this before we get too far in there. I appreciate Jared reading today. Chad normally does this. Sometimes he has Levi do it. Levi's preaching today over in Lawrenceville at a little church that they're struggling. And I had John William preach for them one Sunday. I had Levi preach for him a Sunday. I had Stephen preach for him a Sunday. And when they found out that Levi was married, they wanted him to come back. I think they got something in mind. So you pray about that. But I appreciate Jared doing that today. And I'm going to tell you something. And I'd already mentioned this to some of these boys over here. Let me get you boys right here on this row. Let me just get all you boys to stand up. Just stand up. I want you to look out at the Jared, stand up. You're the one started this. All right. I want you guys to notice them hairdos. Man, you talk about some good looking hair. I told him, I said, you know, at one time in my life I had that. But then I got wise. Started getting some handsomeness to me, and now I have no hair. But I was kidding these boys about that. Can I tell you something? I love the faithfulness of these kids at this church. And I appreciate Jared reading today. First time, as far as I know, that he has read publicly. Did a good job. You boys can be seated. Thank you so much. Love you guys. And so neither were they thankful. They were not thankful about what they knew about God. That's old fuddy-duddy stuff. That's what they believed back in the dark ages. They weren't as enlightened as we are to this day. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah makes this statement. He says that there's going to come a time when evil will be called good, sweet will be called bitter, light will be called darkness. That's what Isaiah said 700 years before Christ. So 2,700 years ago. We've got there. We have absolutely gotten there. Every time I read headlines and then click on the ones that I want to read, I'm telling you, we got some crazy things. How many of you have ever seen the TV program Wheel of Fortune? You know, it's like you spin that wheel and you go, all right, I got 600. Somebody else spend it. I got 650. Somebody else, I got 725. And they spin that, and I mean, it gets more and more crazy. Well, it seems like that every day that is spun on this globe gets more and more nutty. And one of the things that we see as far as the world's concerned, they have nothing for God for the most part. Nothing for God. Now, not this last election, but the previous election. I guess that would have been maybe even the one before that, the one in 16, not 20, but 16. We had a particular party. If you want to know which one it is, it's a donkey. Did you know that they would not even acknowledge God in their platform? Can I tell you that if you're not going to acknowledge my Lord, I have nothing for you. You're not getting any contributions. You're not getting my vote. You're not getting my support in my community from me. You may get it from somebody else, but you're not getting it from me. I would rather sit home and crack pecans than to vote for somebody like that. But it's not just really one party. It's pretty much all parties. Now, you have the Republicans, and they pay lip service. But the truth of the matter is, you got probably almost as many heathen in one as you do in the other. And as a Christian, I just want to be biblical. I just want to be biblical. That's what I want to be. And so the title of the message today is Godless Humanity. How's that going to work out? Well, the first thing that I want you to see is I want you to see revelation received. Now, what is revelation? That is something that is revealed, something that you did not know. And so you have revelation that is revealed, and we're going to look, beginning in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed," there's that word, "from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The word "hold" there means to hold back or to hold down, to suppress. That's what it has the idea of. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest." It is made known, it's shown. "In them." Who's the them? The people in verse 18 that are suppressing the truth and suppressing the knowledge of God and His wrath. They're suppressing that. "For God hath showed it unto them." And so you have God in His wrath. He has shown that. He has shown it to man. They know about it. They suppress it. And verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." So when you begin to see things and you think about a microscope, you may not see it with the naked eye, but you can look under a microscope and you can begin to see things that you cannot pick up on even if you had excellent vision. But here the scripture says it's the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Is there anybody that doubts an atom? I don't think anybody here would be dense enough to do that. I mean, when you're talking about an atom, they've split the atom. That's an invisible thing. I mean, I didn't keep one on my dresser when I was a senior in high school. But yet atoms are everywhere. And so they can clearly see this by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead. About the time that you think that you've got the tiger by the tail, something else comes along. I mean, you think about during the time of Adam, they had no idea what a microwave was. He had no idea what an airplane was. He didn't know anything about a space shuttle. You fast forward in time. You know, those old patriarchs, as wise as those old guys were, they didn't have any idea what it meant to be necessarily created equal in the sight of God. They just knew that they were special because God had given them a covenant. They didn't know any of that. But yet, they are going to be without excuse. So when I see that revelation is received, can I tell you that first of all, there is evidence, there is a revealing for God's existence. Do you know, I don't know if I really believe there's such a thing as atheism. You say, now wait a minute. I've seen guys on television. I've read their books. And they say that they're atheist. Have you ever known of an atheist in a foxhole? That's an old saying. I've never even heard of one in a foxhole. When you know that you're about to die, things change. When you know that the light switch is about to be flipped, you begin to think, was I right? Because there's something on the inside of you that says everything that happened and everything that I see, there's an order to it. Was that something that was happenstance? Now, you're sitting in a beautiful building today. This building is, it's 24 years old since we've been in it. Next year, we will celebrate 25 years in this facility. Do you know how this building did not happen? We didn't have a couple of dump truck loads of ore, and we didn't have some 18-wheelers of limbs and trees and big old cedars of Lebanon. We didn't put them all in a pile and stick a bunch of dynamite in it and blow it up and this church show up. You go, well, that's silly. But yet there are people that do not want to retain God in their knowledge, and they say that man basically began that way. Well, eons and eons and eons ago, when nobody really, was as educated as we are today, man crawled out of a primordial soup. And then when he crawled out, he began to grow some legs. And then he began to stand up on those legs. And the next thing you know, he developed fire. And all of a sudden, we are now where we're at. That doesn't pass a logic test. When you're talking about how everything, thousands and thousands, and maybe probably even millions of things, would have to come together exactly for us to survive as a species, it's not rational to think that that all began with a one cell instead of at least two. I mean, you know, the human race as we know it. How do we get, our replacements? We procreate. That's how you do it. I hear about babies being born all the time. That's how we replace ourselves. Debbie and I had three. We actually had a miscarriage, so we really believe we've got a fourth in heaven. Hey, we doubled ourselves. I tell young people when they get married, hey, get at it. Start having kids. Replace yourself. You know, they've never found that missing link. Never. Never. You understand the word never? But yet we look and we see things. Aren't you glad that watermelons don't grow on trees? I was at my shop the other day, and I got hit in the head with an acorn. There's a water oak that kind of hangs out over the little concrete pad that I have there in front of my shop, and I'm out there doing something, and the next thing I know, boom, right there on my head. And I'm thinking, thank God that wasn't a watermelon. There's an order to it. If we just are logical, there's something on the inside of us that says, there's a God out there. Why do you think you can go to some place like Papua New Guinea and they've got some form of religion there? They know there's something bigger than themselves. And so there is a revelation that we have for the existence of God. That's one of the reasons I just absolutely, it's an inside thing. I don't think that there's really such a thing as an atheist. I was listening to a hospital chaplain the other day, and he was talking about how that at the hospitals, when it's crunch time, and he has been down there in the chapel, and there would be people that had made their way in there. Some of them had been professing atheists, but at that time, when their families about to die, they're begging that knowledge that they have on the inside. If you're there, please help my husband. If you're there, please help my child. There is a revelation of the existence of God. And not only that, I believe there's a revelation of the wrath of God. I think that people know this instinctively. Now, we know it biblically, but I think that we are instinctive in the fact that we believe in a justice. If there is no God, there is no justice, then where is Hitler today? Is he just dead? I mean, he killed 6 million Jews plus Poles and Czechs and homosexuals and disabled children. I mean, he probably got into the, you know, close to 10 million if you add them all up. But 6 million Jewish people. You mean he can annihilate close to 10 million people and then die and nothing happen? Where's the sense of justice in that? No, I believe that there is a God, and it comes from the inside. There is a God that will make all things right. Can I tell you that Jeffrey Epstein, whether he killed himself or whether he didn't, there's a God in heaven that'll make it right. You go, people that take the easy way out, they kill themselves. And I'm thinking, well, if they don't know Jesus, that ain't the easy way out. You know, I'm telling you, there is something on the inside of us, and we know that the wrath of God is revealed. Look back at verse 18 again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In other words, judgment's coming. You know it. You know what's right. So I've had this. Well, if you really believe there's a God, yeah, prove that. All right, where does your morality come from? Well, I have my own morality. No, you don't. You know it's wrong to kill somebody. You know it's wrong to steal from somebody. You know it's wrong to lie to somebody. Those types of things are written on the hearts of people. And yet, there is no God until you're in a foxhole. Or you're in a hospital, or you're about to go to a funeral home. There's a revelation, and you need to hold on to that. Romans 12 tells us that. Let me give you a second thing this morning. There is a recognition that is withheld. Now, I believe in giving kudos to people. I believe in patting people on the back and saying, good job. I believe that if you do something good, I ought to try to acknowledge it. In the springtime, we have graduates, sometimes high school, sometimes college. We try to honor those graduates. In May, we will have an Awana Awards night. We'll have the kids that participate in Awana this year, and some of them will have done one or two books, and some of them may be getting some type of Timothy Award or some type of other achievement that they have accomplished. And what will we do? We'll spend a whole Sunday night letting them be up here in the choir, and they'll come by one, and they'll get their pictures taken, and they'll have all of these awards that will be given to them. Why is that? Because they want to be rewarded for what they've done, and rightly so. We give them recognition for that. Whenever you think about God, do we not recognize what He's done? The world doesn't. I want you to look with me, verse 21. Now, we already read the middle part of it, neither were thankful. But let's look at the words around that phrase. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. In other words, they didn't praise God for who He was. God is God. We aren't. God is the one that has the attributes that we so admire. We don't. God is the one that is sovereign, to use a phrase that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. God is the one that is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. We are not. He is the one that is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He's the one that by the very words of His mouth speaks things into existence. We're not. He is the one that is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what just went through your mind a split second ago. He knows if you're listening or counting the tiles on the ceiling. He knows that. He's God, and we are not, but we are withholding His praise. Now, I believe that the reason is they became vain in their imaginations. Now, the idea of that, the imaginations there, it has the idea of slander. In other words, these people began to slander God, and it got to be so much that it really, it's to the point to where, you know, God's people would say, I got no use for that. No use for it at all. That is not a part of my life, nor will it ever be a part of my life. But these people, they became vain. They became basically conceited in their slander, the way that they thought about things. Have you noticed the crassness of the culture and how that the culture has gotten to the point to where it's always just ripping on somebody? I mean, it's just ripping on somebody. I used to enjoy listening to a young lady named Candace Owens. But now, evidently, she's trying to start a fight with Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk. And I'm like, you named the name of Christ. Why are you trying to start something like this? why don't we just try to honor the Lord? And she would say, oh, I'm speaking truth. No, you're speaking nonsense. I mean, it's like you throw your hat over the fence, and then you got to throw it over another fence and another fence and another fence. And the next thing you know, you done forgot about the fences, and you done gone down a rabbit hole. And you got no way back because you've already put your name out there. But we have turned into a harsh, wicked, evil, mocking, maligning society in America. That's not good. We have got to the point to where we believe, I'm talking about nutty things. When you think of imaginations and something that's vain, it means this. It means to be futile in thought, foolish in reasoning, and stupid in speculation. That's what that vain means. Let me tell you a story. If I had not read this with my own eyes and confirmed it in about three places, I would not have believed someone would say something this asinine. How many of you ever heard of the BBC? All right. Biggest news organization by far in the world. The world. Not America. The world. The BBC came out with a story, and this is what they said. They said that trans men who are transitioning into a woman, that their breast milk is just as healthy as a natural mother. Now, I was raised in South Georgia. But I got news for you. That's nuts. That's crazy. You mean to tell me that a guy that's got mental problems, and he begins to say, well, God made a mistake, which is nuts in itself, put me in a wrong body. Now, God made you like he wanted you. Put me in a wrong body. And then you begin to take injections so that you will lactate. And then you say, I'm going to find a newborn baby and feed that baby. Can I tell you that's child abuse? That's absolutely child abuse. But yet the BBC, biggest publishing company in the world, they didn't just lie about Trump, they lied about chest feeding. Is that not evil? Oh yeah. Is there anywhere in the scripture where that nonsense is praised? Now you've got motherhood that's praised. Oh, I'm telling you, you talk about godly women, I mean, they're everywhere. And one of the things that those women were so praised about was that they could have children and that they would be able to give their children the nourishment that they needed. But I don't read about one single man that decided, hey, I think I'll do that instead of my wife. But yet, that's the conceit of man. They tell us things that we ought to believe. And then when you say, well, I don't believe that, well, you bigot. You know, you're a phobe of some type. I'm not scared of any of it. It's just crazy. But yet we have people that believe that. But as a Christian, we've got to say, no, I may lose my job. I may lose my position. I might even lose my freedom, but I will never accept that. But the world has. Who would have thought that the world would have been shut down about 5 years ago, the way that it was shut down? Do you think demonically that could have been a test run? Yeah, could be. And so you see the conceit of man. But there's a contempt for God. Look at verse 28. even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Let that sink in. There's something innate that they know there's a God. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to think about that. And so what do? They have a contempt. Now, what do they do to take the place of God? First of all, they put themselves there. Look at verse 23. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God. There's no corruption in the Lord. Into an image made like to corruptible man. Let that sink in. You take an incorruptible God, one that is absolutely holy, one that is absolutely perfect in all things, and then we take a man and we make an image of that man. That's our God right there. That's our God. This is like pygmies in New Guinea. Native Americans, when the pilgrims landed. Around this globe, there are people, and they will do things like take a rock, chisel out a face on it, take a tree, cut it down, haul it back to their village, and begin to chisel on it, put little faces on it. We call them totem poles. And then what they will do is they'll go, "That's God." And they begin to fall down and pay homage to a rock. Or they fall down and pay homage to a tree that's been carved. You go, "Boy, you're pretty hard." Yeah. You're not putting my God on a dashboard. You don't put my God on a mantelpiece in your living room. You don't put God in a box somewhere. Can I tell you that in the Old Testament, when they built that temple, the glory of the Lord was there in that Holy of Holies above that mercy seat. But can I tell you, it was not just contained only there. The glory of God is anywhere God is. And so you've got these folks, and they want to create their own gods. It's almost like God is like a buckeye that they walk around and just keep them in the pocket. We used to have a fellow in the church, and he'd reach in his pocket and he'd pull out a buckeye and he'd rub it and he'd say, "That's my good luck charm." And then I'd had some of them say, "Here's my rabbit's foot. That's a good luck charm." Well, it wasn't too good luck for the rabbit, was it? And so you've got people, and they have a contempt for God. Do you know that there are people now that have chunked their Bibles? Don't need the Bible anymore. We got AI. This is not last week. This is 5 years ago. 5 years ago in Silicon Valley. You say, "What's Silicon Valley?" Google, Microsoft, Apple, all the computer phone people. That's Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley, there was a church that was begun, the way of the future. And this is what they said: "We will worship artificial intelligence as a deity, and its central nervous system will be the internet." In other words, we don't need that Bible, that's obsolete. We don't need some book from antiquity. We don't need, what 40 old dinosaur type men, what they wrote over 1500 years. We don't need that stuff. We got the internet. Wonderful. It is so easy. I mean, it is so easy to just get online and check out something. But how do you know if what you're saying is right? Can I tell you that in the last month I've heard of at least two and possibly three lawsuits that have now been filed against some of these artificial intelligence, I'm hesitant to say entity because that makes you think they're alive. They're not. I'll say more about that in a minute. But the people that own them, things like ChatGPT, Gronk, I think those are about the only two I know. But there's others. There's others. And do you know what they're doing? They're taking kids that are teenagers, which is an emotional time in their life. And these kids are asking them questions. And some of it goes to a dark place. Maybe these kids have been bullied at school. And they will say something like this. What do you think that I ought to do? And there's been at least two and possibly three that I know of. Maybe the third one might have been a piggyback of the second one. But they have basically told these teenagers to kill yourself. Why would any sane conversation have something like that in it? It would not. But yet they learn your traits. Oh, that's a wonderful idea. You ought to do that. And now you've got young people that are so susceptible because let's face it, their brains don't really get formed until they're boys, especially 25 years old. If you want to see stupid, just look at some teenagers. You say, you ought not say that. I'm not saying in an ugly way. I was one of them at one time. Let me tell you, I did stupid stuff. Now, I've never had that desire. I mean, I don't understand that at all. I like living. I mean, I love it. I'm 69 and I want another 69. But yet you've got these artificial intelligence that, what are they doing? They're doing that. And these kids are buying into it. And some of them are even starting to try to date these things. Things is a good word. And so we see that recognition that is withheld. Why? Because man is so wonderful. Let me give you a third thing quickly. There's a retribution that's going to be provoked. Verse 24. God gave them up to uncleanness. What does that mean? That means that the things that they have that they are now participating in their lives, there's going to be horrible consequences to it. Now, I know this is not politically correct, and it's 40 years ago. But I really believe that as much as I'm standing in this pulpit, that the AIDS epidemic was the recompense of a lifestyle that was chosen like that. I really believe that. Why do you think that the CDC today, they say that there are certain forms of STDs that we have no antibiotics for? Because it's a just recompense. And what does God say? God says, I give them up to uncleanness. Not only that, look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them unto vile affection. The word vile there, it has the idea of wicked. It has the idea of passions that are not good passions. They're godless passions. And so what does God say? He says, I gave them up to let them do. If they want to do that, do it. Because now they're going to, basically, they're going to have to suffer for it. And so I think that we see that there is a provocation. So what has God done? He gave them up in verse 24. He gave them up in verse 26. And in verse 28, when they didn't retain God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate is someone that goes so far they will not come back. It's someone that has such a vile thinking process that they usually never return from that style of thinking. God's going to give them up. So where has man gone to? Down. He's gone down. I don't want to shut that. I'm going to read one more verse in a moment. How many of you know what an app is? Come on, participate with me here. How many of you know what an app is? You say, I'm 80 years old. I don't know. Yeah, you do. You know what an app is. All right? New app out. And I'm not even going to tell you the name of it. I've got it written down here, but I'm not even going to tell you the name because I don't want some... Be careful. I don't want somebody to succumb and download this app. What does the app do? Well, let me just pick on somebody right here. All right? Sylvia. Sylvia's mom, dad, and sister are buried in Americus, Georgia. I went down to the funerals when her parents and sister were buried. If she has a video that has the video and the audio with it, she can download this app. She could give them that 3-minute video. They would in turn send her, I guess, to a site, their site, to a particular area where that they would have created what's called an avatar. Some of the young people know what an avatar is. You might know what an app is, but some of you may not know what an avatar is, all right? It's a caricature of something. And it will have movement. And what they will do is they will let you have a conversation with your dead grandma. If she did that, they would take the voice and they would let it be voiced over and they would add words to it. And it would be something like this. Oh, Sylvia, it is so good to talk with you. We miss you so much. The advertisement that I heard was this. It was from a grandma. And they had taken and they had given this company a little video, and now they've sent it back and let the family, and this is what it was. Oh, Charlie, you're doing so good in math. Your grandma is so proud of you. Now, Charlie's never met grandma because she died before he was born. Oh, I remember when your mom was pregnant with you. Oh, I thought that was so wonderful. This is what I told her. Put your hand on your stomach and rub your stomach and hum because he'll like that. Can I tell you that's freaky? You know, every one of us would condemn somebody that went down to Sister What's-Her-Caller. All right? Sister Lunatic. I don't know any of the psychic readers' names. But if we went to a psychic reader and said, we want you to do a seance for us. Okay. And you meet on a night and you got some people and you're all holding hands and they got a candle around here and a candle around there and they'd begin to conjure some spirits. Every one of us would say, that's crazy. And rightly so. I remember when I was a kid, you know, one of the big things was a Ouija board. Now, let me tell you how stupid I was. I've already told you I was from South Georgia. I went to the store to try to buy a Ouija board, and I couldn't find a thing. Because I'm spelling Ouija with a W. I'm going Ouija, Ouija. W-E-E-G-E. And I'm looking all over the toy section and I'm thinking, because I mean, I've heard these people, oh man, them Ouija boards will give you some good information. And I'm walking around Kmart. That's another one, dinosaur. By the way, Kmart was a good place for my family. My daddy got a coupon one time, bought a lawnmower, gas powered, $5. That's a lot better than that push mower I used. This was a push one, but it had a motor on it. And so you've got that seance and you go, oh yeah, Dan, that's great, that's great. But now you can talk to your dead wife. Can I tell you, you're not talking to your dead wife? You can talk to your dead mama. No, my mama died 3 years ago. No, and I saw an old lady the other day and she was walking through Longhorn and she was bent over and all I'm thinking is, there goes my mama. That's what I was thinking. I don't get to talk to my mama. Now, I can say, Lord, would you let my mama know this? I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that if you've had a spouse die and you want to just, you know, talk out loud, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with you going out to the cemetery and sitting there and just say, let me unload my chest here. If you were here, this is what you'd be hearing. Don't have a problem with that. But I got a problem when there's such a delusion that you go to an AI source that can emulate a voice. And then all of a sudden, I am so glad that your baby is doing well. You don't know that. Your artificial intelligence. We got to be careful about how far man goes. You say, are you against it? I am. And we use it. Some of you didn't even get that. Do you know that every time the doctor leaves my wife's room, one of my girls gets out their phone, tell me what this means in layman's language. And I'm going, I don't know about that. And I bet you a dollar to a donut that many of you sitting right here right now, not just the kids, but I'm talking about some of you other folks, you're using AI and might not even know it. It's coming. But I'm going to be dragging my heels all the way. I want the Lord to come. We live in some crazy times, and the only hope that we've got is Jesus. I close with this. Look at Romans 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Man's not getting to buy. The same way that God zapped the earth with Noah and that flood, and the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah got zapped with those sulfur balls and that fire and brimstone, same way that Israel got popped by the Assyrians and Judah got popped by the Babylonians. Yeah, you're inexcusable. That means that there will be a reckoning day. Whosoever thou art that judgest or condemns somebody, for wherein thou judgest or condemns another, thou condemnest thyself. We better be careful the judgment that we give out to people, because that's what we're going to be judged with. For thou judgest, and you're doing the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. God's word will be the truthful standard that we will be judged by. You ought to know what it has to say. According to the truth, against them which commit such things. Every one of these people that do not want God, one day they will face that very God. They will face that very God. I want to humble myself now and not be forced to humble myself then. Because every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's coming. I want to be a thankful man. And when I walk into an establishment, I want there to be a smile on my face. I want people to know there's something different about that bald-headed guy right there. I want them to say there's something different about the way that he speaks to me. I went by a store the other day over in Conyers to pick up some stuff on this 17-year project on my back porch. Started it 17 years ago. My wife said, "Are you ever going to finish it?" Yeah. So about 3 months ago, I started working on it again. So I'm down to where I need to get the flooring, and so I went and started looking around trying to pick up the flooring. And I was talking to a young man. His name was Leo, African-American young man. And he looked at me in a minute after we talked, and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got kids?" I said, "3. You got any girls?" 2. He goes, "I'm about to have my first baby. Me and my wife, we're expecting our first. And this little girl, I'm scared to death." He said, "Would you tell me what I need to do?" And I said, "Well, let me ask you some questions, Leo. Are you a believer?" "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." I said, "That's a good start." I said, "You and your wife married?" "Yeah." I said, "That's a good second start." Number 3, I said, "You need to make sure that you're in a good church that believes the Bible." I said, "There's churches out there that don't. Don't go just because you like the music. Don't go just because, you know, it's hip, it's fun. You go someplace that loves the Bible." And I said, "And after you've done those preliminary things," I said, "you spend time with that little girl." I said, "Most girls that have problems of a great nature are usually young girls without a father in the home, without a father figure." And I said, "You're that guy." And I said, "There's no greater job that you'll ever have than raising that little girl." I said, "I loved every minute of raising my kids. I'd do it again in a heartbeat." I said, "You seems like you want to do right." And I said, "But if you'll hang in there with the Lord, you'll be good." He thanked me. And as I'm leaving, I've already known what I'm going to be preaching on. All I'm thinking is, he didn't even have to go to AI to get that advice. All he had to do was look in his book, look in his Bible. Everything's good.